seems like a huge part of your process, maybe the entire process, is it's all stick, no carrot. You know, you talk about the carrot, the positive thing, and then there's the stick, the thing you're trying to avoid.
Yep.
I feel like it's the way it's landing for me is it's all stick and gas pedal.
Is it?
There's no carrot. You're not imagining, oh, when I'm a paramedic, when the book is published. And obviously you set those goals and you make those targets.
Yep.
But it's all stick.
All stick.
No carrot.
Think about that. I'm waking up right now studying, like I have a test tomorrow. I already passed the fucking test. Think about that. Every day of my life, that's what I must do just to retain what I learned. 4 hours plus a day, I go through and do that. There's no stick, or there's only a stick. There's never been a carrot. Which is why when I speak to people, I have to figure out a way to resonate with them. Because all I want to say to them is, let me teach you the real life, how it really is. The reason why you're a loser, and the reason why you're not fucking making it, and the reason why you're trying to go to all these, I go to all these fucking conventions, speak all the fucking time. I look in the fucking audience, and these people sign up, and every year go to convention, thinking they're gonna learn something different. No, you're lazy. You know exactly what to do. Exactly what to do. Because even me, in my state of, I can't read and write, I knew exactly what to do. It just sucks doing it. It sucks to do it. It sucks to wake up every morning of your life and say, God, man, I'm not smart. So guess what I gotta do? I gotta study the same shit that I got one of the highest scores in the nation on and do it again. Do it again. Do it again. It's not just there. It's not just there permanently for me. So yeah, it's all stick. It's all stick. The only carrot you have is like, maybe. Because whenever I take these tests that are real hard, in the back of my brain, it's like, there's a good chance you're not gonna make it, Goggins. This ain't you, bro. This ain't you. You weren't born like this. This ain't you, the real you, bro. Study all you want to, but the second that fucking computer comes on with 150 questions, this ain't you, man. And somehow, it comes back, I passed. Passed again. But that real me back here every fucking time is saying, that ain't you, bro. That ain't you. And I have to outwork that voice. When I'm taking that test and I get to a question, I don't fucking know the answer. I'm like, man. And then say, I told you, man, that ain't you. You're 300 pounds, man. You sit at home, you figure out how to do your hair. That's what you do. How to come to school with the reverse baldness when you're 16. That's you. So there is no get out of jail free card. This is why I say stay hard. Because when you weren't given the gifts, the only thing you can do in life is stay hard. And I know people cannot stand me. They can't stand this talk. This is all you can do. There's no magic pill or a magic potion. All you can do is outwork the man that God created or woman in you. And what that looks like is unfun. That's why I said, do not do a documentary on me. Because people will not see the truth. They will see what they want to see. I don't want to live like that. Good. And you will live exactly the way you live now. Questioning who you are. Wondering what is possible. Wondering what you are capable of doing. That's how that looks. Or you can be me, which, am I happy? I don't know. Never really thought about it. Don't really care about it. Because all I really cared about was when I looked in that fucking mirror, I saw a piece of shit. Happiness wasn't on the mirror at 16. Or I was 300 pounds. It wasn't like, oh my, I'm looking for happiness. No, I'm looking to look at myself in the mirror and say, all right, motherfucker, you did it again today. You a bad boy. Because that shit sucks. I have about a couple minutes of that when I got the carrot. Second, lay down and go to bed, the carrot's gone because I'm waking up all through the night to check the work I did that day. Did I get this drug right? Did I get this right? Did I get that right? What did I do? Oh my God, I'm already losing it. Stick.
You must take advantage of any opportunity to strengthen your resolve, because when life hits you in the mouth, you will need that resolve. Of course, knowing that doesn't make it easy to re-engage when everything is actually getting out there and running the last 135 miles demanded a level of focus and commitment that is hard to find when you've been down and out for half a day. Fortunately, I've been in f***ed up situations so many times before. I knew what to do. For starters, I had to stay locked in mentally. A lot of people fall down when they get smacked, and when they hit the ground, they lose all momentum. Not just physically, but mentally, because they're humiliated. And when you are humiliated, it is impossible to make any sort of progress. We must learn how to absorb life's haymakers without getting knocked down. Because picking yourself up off the canvas is the hardest, longest step of all as you fight to regain your momentum. Yes, I had to shut it down for half a day. Yes, all the goals I had for Moab 240 had been obliterated. Yes, my body was a mess, but mentally, I was still on my feet and in the race because I'm not living life for the same reasons as almost everyone else. The rewards I seek are internal. And if you have that mindset, you will find opportunities for growth everywhere. During tough times, that growth can be exponential. I wasn't going to win the race or finish in a respectable time, but I had been gifted another rare opportunity to test myself in adverse conditions and become more. If anything, my desire to finish had only grown thanks to the mess I'd made. At the same time, I needed to ease some of the pressure I'd placed on myself. Pressure comes with high expectations, which is great because it can bring out your best. But there are times when it can be more helpful to offload pressure. When you are exhausted, it is vital to remain in control of your thoughts and emotions so you can make decisions with your right mind. Choosing to relieve pressure allows you to do that. When the pressure is high, you develop blinders that limit perspective. That's great for certain situations that demand hyperfocus. But when you're engaged in something that demands your maximum endurance, it's better to broaden your perspective and your awareness to absorb more of the experience, which enables maximum growth both during the event and in the days and weeks to follow. Besides, if you allow that unrelenting pressure to build, you're liable to snap and make a bad situation a whole lot worse. Remember, the goal is always to complete the mission, whatever it may be, with no regrets and a clear head, so you can use it to progress in life. Cultivating a willingness to succeed despite any and all circumstances is the most important variable of the re-engagement equation. Your willingness to succeed builds self-esteem. It broadens your concept of your own capability. Yet it is the first thing we lose touch with when things go bad. After that, giving up often feels like the sanest option, and maybe it is. But know that quitting chips away at your self-worth and always requires some level of mental rehab. Even if what forces you to quit is an injury or something else beyond your control, you will still have to bounce back from the experience mentally. A successful mission seldom requires any emotional maintenance. In order to execute on your willingness to succeed, you will need to be able to perform without purpose. You've heard of purpose, that magical missing ingredient crucial to landing a fulfilling career and building a happy life. What if I told you the importance of finding your purpose was overblown? What if there never was any such thing as your good friend purpose? What if it doesn't matter what the f*** you do with your time here? What if it's all arbitrary and life doesn't give a flying f*** if you want to be happy? What then? All I know is this. I am David f***ing Goggins. I exist. Therefore, I complete what I start. I take pride in my effort and in my performance in all phases of life. Just because I am here. If I'm lost, I will find myself. As long as I'm on planet Earth, I will not half-ass it. Anywhere I lack, I will improve because I exist, and I am willing. This is the mentality we should all strive for when we're stuck. Because when you're in the hurt locker, you must be your own motivator, your own drill instructor. In the dark moments, you must remind yourself why you chose to be there in the first place. That takes an edgy tone. When you're all f***ed up and looking for more, the only tone you should allow inside your head is the tone of a warrior. The tone of someone prepared to plunge deep inside their own soul to find the energy they need to keep up the fight and prevail. It's funny how our goals are only as elastic as our sense of self, of who we are, and what we think we can accomplish. If all you've ever done is run 3 miles at a clip, then a 10-mile run can feel as far as the moon. Your mind will compile reasons why that distance is beyond you, and you may believe them. If 10 becomes the new normal, then a half or full marathon may be the next step. After a marathon comes ultra. Each time you level up, your mind will step in like an overbearing chaperone and try to shut down the party. That very dynamic was playing out in my own mind on the long drive. When I was learning to swim as a teenager, I spent all my time in the shallow end of the pool because there was no fear there. Even after I'd become proficient, I swam laps in the shallow end because it soothed me knowing that with each stroke, I damn near scraped bottom. If I got too tired or wanted to quit, I could simply stand up, and that gave me both comfort and confidence. It allowed me to work on my stroke without fear getting in the way. There is nothing inherently wrong with that, as long as we are clear that the shallow end work we put in is all about preparation for the deep end. But that was not my mindset at that point in my life. The way the pool complex was laid out made it impossible to ignore the deep end. Each day I left the locker room, I had to walk by the 10-foot section. Occasionally, I stepped to the ledge and looked down. That 10-foot floor felt bottomless to me, so I tucked tail and strolled toward the cozy little 3-foot marker. With each step, my dread faded while my comfort swelled, and that f***ed with my psyche. I did my best to clear it out of my mind as I swam, but it lodged in there like a thorn, lap after lap, day after day. When something continually looms in the back of your mind like a taunting, that's an alarm. It's a signal that you need to evaluate and address that issue, or it may become a lifelong fear, looming larger each day until it morphs into an obstacle you may never overcome. There is nothing wrong with being afraid or hesitant. We all have our reasons for remaining in the shallow end, but we must make our shallow end a training ground. Too often, we treat our training terrain as a lazy boy. We lay back, get comfy, and then have the audacity to wonder why our lives aren't getting any better while we do the same shit we've always done. I should have been using my time in the shallow end as mental preparation, imagining deep water with every stroke. You have to train your mind as if you are already there. If you get tired while swimming laps in the shallow end, don't give yourself the option of standing up in the middle of the lane. Your only resting point should be the gunwale at the other end of the pool. That way, when you get to the 10-foot end, you know from experience that you can make the distance. But back then, I was merely a survivor. I wasn't a warrior capable of thriving in discomfort, so I chose to bury my dread and log my pool hours in the shallows with no end in sight. A lot of us grow out of life's shallow end, but stay there because we fear the unknown. I'm thinking of those who remain in a secure job they hate instead of cutting ties and starting up their own business or applying for a new position elsewhere. Most are intimidated by an unknown future filled with variables and consequences they can't control or foresee. I know a person who ran other people's thriving businesses for 20 years, but was afraid to run her own. She knew every aspect of what it took to become a successful entrepreneur. But rather than acknowledge her experience and use it as a confidence supply, she let her irrational fears keep her running in place for someone else. You need to evaluate what you are feeling. Not every emotion deserves to be ratified. Remember, if you stay where you've always been, you will never learn. If you have what it takes to venture into the deep water,